Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have Mr. Charlie Wise from TransUnion. Charlie, good to see you again.
Great to see you, Mike, as always.
Ah, right. Likewise, sir. Hey, today we're talking about TransUnion's Q2 2023 Consumer Pulse Study and how inflation has consumers in a recession state of mind. So this is a very timely topic indeed. So just to kind of kick things off here, Charlie, can you give us a quick overview on maybe some of the findings or was there a theme in this study, if you will?
Sure. So we've been doing this survey since the week after the pandemic started in March of 2020, trying to understand what's the sentiment of the consumer? How's the consumer feeling? What are their concerns? Obviously, when the pandemic and the health crisis and unemployment shot to 16%, there was a lot of concerns.
Oh, yeah.
And we've seen it pivot over time and shift, and people aren't talking about COVID so much anymore. What they are talking about is looming clouds on the horizon around the economy and wondering what's going to happen. So there's the what's around the corner, and then there's the what's on your doorstep or what's over your house right now out the windows. And what we're seeing is that consumers continue to be, for the sixth consecutive quarter, inflation number one concern. Followed by, at this point, concerns about a potential recession, which we can talk about, and also concerns about the high cost of housing and mortgages, rent, et cetera. These are the big things that are keeping consumers up at night.
Okay.
And so with those clouds, we say, man, this is a potentially concerned consumer. But when you ask the same consumers, so how are you feeling? Well, I'm feeling pretty good, and this interesting level of optimism about consumers' own finances and their own outlook for the next months, we find this interesting underlying optimism about household finances and about future income gains and essentially around where the economy is likely to be in a year. That is this. Maybe a contradiction, but maybe the silver lining around the consumer that has this level of optimism that even though we're seeing headwind right now, we're going to get through this. This is going to be okay.
I think so too. Yeah, because I just saw today, actually, kind of the timing of our conversation. I'm kind of a news junkie, so I'm always going through these news feeds and stuff. And I saw one report that said, since consumer spending is still up, it's the firewall to the recession because the recession is still playing hide and seek with us this year. So not sure what's going on with that. So based on your findings, what's your take on that?
It's interesting because, so first off, the consumer is absolutely spending and there's, the things that have been propping up the consumer, it's kind of the three-legged stool has been excess savings that consumers have been able to stockpile through the recession that in large part is gone. There's still $600 billion that's floating around out there. The problem is, I think it's in a couple of very big pockets and the people have long since burned through that.
Yeah.
The second piece is household income and people's incomes maybe not have kept up with the high rate of inflation, but they have seen material gains. And a lot of the people that have seen the most significant gains are those younger consumers, the Gen Z and the millennials that have more job flexibility, that are in those early in their career positions that are much more likely to see material increases. I mean, there's a lot of people that essentially, if you don't like your job or don't feel like you're being compensated for it, you walk across the street and you see a double-digit increase. That's been going on for a while.
Yeah, you're right.
So consumers have more in their pockets to spend. And then the third piece is credit. And consumers that have been able to access credit at higher rates since kind of the depths of the pandemic, starting in about mid-2021, we've seen a pretty robust credit market from both an access and a usage standpoint. And so consumers essentially have had the resources to continue this spending, even though there's these headwinds, even though everything costs more, even though that you're sometimes spending on the things you don't necessarily want to spend on, like gas and groceries.
Oh, yeah.
But they able to do so.
Yes, and one of the interesting findings that I found in here, and you may as well, is that rising interest rates only ranked as the fourth greatest financial concern for consumers. Every headline you read is like, oh my gosh, interest rates are going through the roof, blah, blah, blah. So I want to get your take on that one. I was going to ask you, anything surprised you, but that was the one that surprised me, was the interest rate one.
It is interesting, though, a couple things around that. So interest rates matter a lot to the consumer if you're looking to buy a home.
Correct.
You know, and so if you have your home, if you've got a mortgage that's more than 18 months old, you're probably sitting on a sub 4%, maybe sub 3% interest rate. Yeah. All those rising interest rates don't affect you. I mean, you're essentially, you've locked yourself in and you're hopefully doing pretty well on that. You need to buy a new automobile. For sure, interest rates are a problem, but auto affordability is as much a problem as the interest rate. Yeah. At the end of the day, it's really expensive to find a car. Yeah. So think about the types of credit that a lot of consumers are using actively. Credit cards and unsecured personal loans, they really aren't affected by interest rates all that much. If you think about credit cards, you're already paying such a high interest rate. You know, it's usually in the range of 20%, 22%. 100 basis point, a 1% increase in the, you know, the Fed's been increasing interest rates at like 25% increments. A 1% increase on the average consumer who $5,800 in balances, that's $4 to $5 a month in additional interest charges. That's not the backbreaker. The backbreaker is the $120 it costs you to fill a tank of gas, or the rent keeps going up to double digits. And that's why we think it's not as big a deal. I mean, to be honest, they're rising interest rates not to punish consumers, but to get businesses to slow down their investment, to kind of take some of the frothiness out of the economy, the jobs market. I mean, that's the Fed's stated intention. They need to see a slightly tighter jobs market to get some of the wage inflation under control, to really tackle this inflation problem. It's been the biggest underlying pain point for a while now.
Yeah. And that's a whole nother show.
For sure. Don't need to go there right now, but this is not the thing that's keeping consumers up at night to the extent that some of the other issues are.
Yeah. Yeah. The other one that stood out to me was that more than half of Americans expect their income to rise in the next 12 months. That's 51%. I think that goes back to your Gen Z millennial statement as well. So yep. Kind of a fall in line with
that's
that.
That's exactly it. And when we break down those findings by the different generation groups, we see it's much higher for, you know, the optimism. It's like in this, you know, the 70, or sorry, it's in the, I can pull the numbers. It's like 68 and 66% for millennials and Gen Z, respectively, in terms of those that think that their incomes are going to rise in the next 12 months. Mm-hmm. You contrast that with less than half for Gen X and 27% for baby boomers. Those who are later in their careers are much less likely to see those material wage increases. A lot of times they're at high levels right now and they see relatively smaller increases. And for a lot of baby boomers, they're at or, you know, near retirement. I mean, they're essentially looking at very fixed incomes. And so it's those younger consumers, those are the ones that see a lot of job mobility, that have a lot of optimism about the fact that there's still a pretty healthy job market out there. Even if they want to, you know, lose their job or want to switch jobs, there's more out there.
Oh my gosh.
And so they're the ones who are expecting, or maybe have gotten conditioned to think that they're going to get, you know, fairly material increases every year, or maybe even every 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I find that one super fascinating. One of the more obvious ones, and you kind of alluded to it at the top of the show, is like for the sixth consecutive quarter, consumers indicated that inflation is causing them the most anxiety. Have we gotten inflation in check yet? Because it seems to be not as prevalent as it was, but I mean, obviously it's still there. And living out in Southern California, oh my gosh, yep. I see it every day. But take on that one?
The problem with inflation is lots of people define it very differently. Mm-hmm. So here's the reality is that we may see inflation coming under control, meaning the rate of increase of prices is starting to slow down, but you're still paying $12 for a sandwich that cost you $8 2 years ago. And it's still costing you. I mean, I'm still paying over $5 a gallon for gas. I remember the good old days for three, right? And so that's what The problem is that even if inflation, the rate of inflation comes down, those elevated prices are still stuck for a while. And businesses have to keep charging those prices for sandwiches. Why? Because the labor, that's the people that are working in that shop, are now making $15 an hour and not $8 an hour. Yeah. Great for them. But those same people that are making a lot more money also have to pay a lot more money for everyday goods and services. So even if inflation's getting under control, we have that stickiness of prices that is not going to go away anytime soon.
I totally agree with you on that. I don't think we're going to come down at all. I mean, well, maybe, but I just don't, because of the what you said, that, you know, the people doing this work are making so much more money that you have to charge more for the product.
That's so, right.
I don't think it's going to be coming down anytime soon. So I think that's, like you said, it's going to be stuck there.
And that's what people are saying when they say inflation. What they're saying is, it still costs me $150 instead of $100 every time I go to the grocery store. Yep. That's their reality. And they may not have seen a 50% increase in their pay, even with what they've gotten from before. So, and good luck going out to dinner these days and getting out of there without feeling like you just got robbed at gunpoint. So
ain't that the truth? Oh my gosh. Staying home ain't so bad.
That's right. I can cook a nice steak at home for a much better price.
Nice pasta dinner. You got that right. So looking at this overall here, what are some of the lessons that we learned here from these findings, and how do we connect these with credit unions out there?
Sure. So I think what it comes down to, like one of the interesting things that as we're trying to kind of peel back this optimism that we're seeing, that's in contrast to some of the headwinds, is we may have come out of the pandemic with, among other changes, this underlying feeling of consumers, particularly young consumers that didn't live through the great financial crisis of 2008, 2009. That one, we emerged, it took years before a lot of people, the job markets got back to normal, before graduated, were even getting the jobs that they wanted to take after school, because they're professions weren't hiring. It took years, and there were scars that lasted a long time. Contrast that with today, and particularly the Gen Z. We just went through this wrenching, both financial and health crisis. 16% unemployment 2 months after it was at 3.5. And what happens? The economy, once we get things under control, once the government directed its stimulus and the vaccines were in place, we saw that the economy roar back to a 3.5%-ish unemployment rate, to a soaring stock market, to soaring home prices that put a lot of wealth in people's pockets. I think there's this underlying feeling of optimism that even if there's a recession coming, even if there's tough times ahead, the economy, the U.S. economy, is fundamentally resilient and will bounce back, and we'll find ways to normalize through all this. And I think that feeling of optimism really helps, to come back. What does that mean? An optimistic consumer is ultimately a consumer that spends and it borrows to finance that spending. And I think that credit unions really need to realize that, the consumers, their members, are going to have probably this period of transition. There's going to be some upticks in unemployment. I mean, again, it's hard to imagine we're not going to see at least some nominal uptick. I don't think it's going to be that bad, but it's going to be higher than it is right now.
Yeah.
Some people will not have jobs, or some people will find a little bit more difficulty, kind of getting the hours or the wages that they had, very recently, and they're going to struggle. And I think knowing that that their members need help, in some cases that's access to credit, in some cases it's guidance, in some cases it's helping to sit down and actually kind of figure out a financial plan, members are going to need help. And I think credit unions are really well positioned to sit down and have those consultative conversations around what do you really need, and how are we going to help make sure you get from here to where you're going to go in pretty good shape.
Yeah, well said, well said. And before I let you go, we are in the throes of the home buying season. Did you guys address this at all in the Consumer Pulse study in there? And if so, what did you guys find going into the summertime?
So we've seen that there are consumers that are still actively in the market to buy. I mean, you look at the mortgage market, nobody refinancing their mortgages right now unless something crazy is going on, right? It's in hibernation right now. It's Han Solo in the carbon right. cube taking a little break, right? It's going to come back when rates come down. But there are still consumers. If you look at the volume of purchase mortgages, it's still at pretty healthy levels relative to the pre-pandemic period. And I think people are still buying. And I think that even with the higher rates, people may not be able to afford as much home, yeah. or they may need to get creative with some of the financing. And I think that credit unions have done a good job of helping to find sort of creative financing solutions, or let's see if we can work through how we make getting at home work for you. Yeah. You may have to reset your expectations about how much money how much house your money can buy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But people still need homes, and people are still going to be interested in moving. And when that second kid comes along, getting out of that 2-bedroom, 1-bath apartment. So, it's going to be important that credit unions are there to help those members that are going to be interested mm-hmm. in getting into new homes, because it's going to happen.
Yeah, no doubt. And if the average consumer today can take a little bit of a history lesson and look back a couple of decades, that their interest rates right now are actually pretty darn good compared to what they were.
7%. If you look back to 1998, which is when I bought my first home,
me too.
But I paid for mine, and that's what they're going for today.
We were over the moon about that rate. We were just oh my gosh.
Exactly right. So, maybe you got to put off getting the rec room in the basement with all the toys in there, and maybe that's going to be next house, or maybe you have to wait till rates come back down and you can do a cash out refi to get that. But, it doesn't mean we can have everything today if we want it. Sometimes we have to wait a little while.
I hear you. Patience, sir. Patience is the key here. All right.
Charlie,
as always, thank you so much for the education and these findings and then connecting it with credit unions. We always appreciate your insights and your expertise, and look forward to having you back on soon. And again, thank you for your time. Always a fun.
Always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible.